Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for staying with me. My pleasure as always. I'm glad you're here. My guest this half hour, ladies and gentlemen, almost needs no introduction. I'm going to think there might be three people out there somewhere on planet Earth who hasn't heard of Ken Blanchard. Ken is the guy who, he's one of my heroes, folks, because this is a guy who took a self-published book, The 1 Minute Manager, and turned it into a global success story on many, many levels. He has written so many books over the years. There's no way you could load them into a truck, and the truck wouldn't be big enough. And he's got a new book out that he's co-authored called Who Killed Change? He's here to talk to us about change. He's our good friend, Ken Blanchard. Welcome back to the show.
Well, Jim, great to be with you always.
It's good to have you back, and I love telling the story about that you told us once in the past about how the 1 Minute Manager got launched.
Yeah, well, we actually self-published that ourselves,
yeah.
And it was really kind of fun. I met Spencer Johnson at a cocktail party, and he wrote children's books at the time.
Right.
And my wife met him first and hand carried him over and said, "You guys want to write a children's book for managers? They won't read anything else." And so that's what that became. So
yeah. And you sold thousands of copies, and finally, and then a publisher, after you'd proven the success, some publisher got interested in it. And I have my own publishing company. That's the reason I said you were my hero, because I promise you, I've sold a lot more of my books than any publisher would have sold.
Yes. Well, the publishing industry is in trouble now.
Yep.
But it's still a wonderful thing. They have all these different ways you can read books now, but there's still nothing like curling yourself up with a good book.
Nothing like holding a book. I still like to do that. The new book, Who Killed Change? Talk to us about that, Ken. Who did kill change?
Well, it's a really kind of a fun, you'll enjoy it. It's a kind of a Columbo CSI book, and this is this agent Mike McNally, and this is the third change that's been killed this week, and he's going to get to the bottom of it. And he interviews all the suspects, you know, people like Victoria Vision, you know, who's got a kind of a myopic leader, and Ernest Urgency, who's always late, and Claire Communication, who's got laryngitis. And but it's really kind of fun to show all the reasons why change gets killed. And then at the end, we have a step-by-step guide that helps people apply the story, you know, to their own organization. And you know that change is a big subject that everybody talks about. I don't think most of them know what change is. They keep on shouting, you know, we're into change, and we'd like to help them be successful if they're serious about it.
Well, one of the things that people realize is when somebody talks about change, you know, the question is not, yeah, I want change. The question is, what kind of change do you want?
Yeah,
to me.
Because so often what people don't do is realize that change is defined by describing what's actually happening and then describing what you'd like to be happening. It's the difference between the actual and the ideal.
Right.
It's the movement for change, and if people would understand that, you know, so often we want to tell everybody all the benefits of change, but we haven't told them what we got in mind yet.
Well, and you know, some of the research that we've covered on this show before, Ken, indicates that most people, the majority of people, 60-plus, maybe as much as 70% of people, resist change very strongly.
Well, I think they resist change because, you know, we've been studying Pat Zagarmi, who's one of the co-authors. You know, what are concerns that people have for change? And people want to tell them all the benefits right away, but they have three other concerns that they got to deal with. One is they want information. What do you got in mind? I think people resist change because they don't know what you got in mind.
Right.
You know, you keep on talking about it. And then they have personal concerns. How am I going to survive? What does it mean to me? And then they want to know implementation concerns. When are you going to do what, when, where, and all.
Right.
we find if you deal with those three concerns, you immediately drop a lot of the resistance, and people start to get aboard because they know what you got in mind. They know how it's going to impact them, and they know how it's going to be implemented. Makes it a lot easier.
Well, a lot of business owners too can know how to make change. They know how to create change, but they don't always know how to lead change, do they? And there's
no,
a difference
there.
No,
I think the biggest problem what we have found, Jim, is that they like to announce the change, and then they go to a leave-alone leadership style
right,
and wonder why it doesn't get done. We found that the key thing to changing something effectively is to know that your emphasis ought to be on managing the journey, not just announcing the destination.
Right, right.
And that's where you got to involve your people.
Mm-hmm.
The big thing I've said, and I think this is so true in these tough times, I get really upset when I don't see leaders treating their people as their business partners and sharing information with them and all, rather than going behind closed doors and making decisions.
Well, and you make a good point, and it's kind of hard to encourage people to help you with change if they're afraid.
That's right, and fear is a big thing, and people are fearful if they don't know what you got in mind and if you don't share any information with them. Involvement is a really a big thing that drops fear tremendously when people say, well, God, they're really involving. You know, like, we're down our company like everybody else, 15-20%. So the first thing we did in February was share with everybody the balance sheet, you know, and
yeah. What
was happening with our bank and all. In fact, we had brought a guy a number of years before from Colorado to teach everybody in our company, including people in shipping, how to read a balance sheet so that everybody's got the same information. We don't hide anything.
Well, and you know, when I was a consultant to small businesses years ago, I can remember a new client would bring me in and say, okay, this is what I want to accomplish. I want to make these adjustments in my company, and I want you to help us make it happen. And I say, okay, well, I need to talk to your people if we're going to do this. And the guy would say, yeah, no problem. So I'd go talk to the people, and I could tell that they weren't really, you know, very excited about this. And I remember one time I asked this one guy, I said, why are you resisting this? He said, do you have any idea how many of these kind of meetings I've had with people just like you with this boss? He said, it never happens.
Yeah.
And so what I found out was this guy liked to talk about change, but he wasn't actually able to lead the change. And that's the difference. Hold on to that thought. We're going to be right back with Ken Blanchard, ladies and gentlemen. The book is called Who Killed Change? It's brand new. It's good. Stay with us.
Got a black magic woman.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out my blog. Ask a question on askjim.biz. Listen to interviews. Read articles. Check out our Brain Trust members. Lots and lots of stuff there. And, of course, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame over there. Ken Blanchard is our guest, our good friend, and folks, I'm just looking through some of the books that I have that Ken has co-authored, and it's just amazing. Servant Leader, Ken's Servant Leader may be my favorite.
Oh, good. That's really done amazingly well. And we certainly need today more servant leaders. We got so many examples of self-serving leaders, that's for sure.
Yeah. The new book is called Who Killed Change? Ken Blanchard, John Britt, Judd Hoekstra, and Pat Zagarmi. Are the four authors, the three of the authors along with Ken, who've written this outstanding book. It's a mystery novel, folks. But it's written about change. The victim is change, and somebody or something killed change. And this guy, this detective, is trying to get to the bottom of this. And that's what you need to be doing in your organization, is getting to the bottom of who killed change. Because you know, Ken, one of the things that I've observed about change, what I've said is that there's nothing really new about change for the last several thousand years. A computer is just a fancy wheel. But there is one thing that is different about change, and that's the velocity of change.
Yes,
it's happening faster.
It's just unbelievable. I mean, there's so much change coming at people. That's why it's so important that top managers and parents and everybody realize if you really want to make a change, you need to understand the process of doing it. So, because you know the research shows, Jim, that 50 to 75% of the change efforts fail. You know, they stir up a lot of action, but they never go anywhere.
Right. That's exactly right. So how do we manage change? How do we lead with change, Ken?
Well, first of all, you have to recognize that involvement of your people is really key. Make them your business partner. And I think the whole change process has to start with making sure people understand what the business case is, which is, you know, why are we doing this? And give people as much information as possible. Treat them like they have brains and that they can help you. And, you know, as we're dealing with this tough economic time, we really need all of our people. We need their ideas for cost containment. We need their ideas for increasing revenues, you know, because we have to become meaner and leaner.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't want to lose our people. We want
one of the things that you're exactly right, Ken. The thing about it is you're not going to survive 2009 without getting a buy-in from your employees, without getting them to contribute to understanding. And this is isn't this one of the aren't the these two V elements? I call them the two V's. To me, are the most important parts of leading with change, and that is something you mentioned a minute ago, vision. Having the vision and being able to convey that vision to your people, getting them to accept it and to be part of it. And the other, besides vision, the other is values. What are the values of the change? What do you think?
Yes, but remember that the people are not as concerned about, you know, what's the value of the change until they know what it is, and that's why the vision and starting sharing information, and then people have personal concerns, and you want to listen to those. You can't necessarily solve them all.
Right.
I think, you know, remember how you said, I'm glad I got that off my chest, that
right.
People can share their concerns, then a lot of times they go away.
Right. Right, exactly. Well, when I talk about values, you know what I mean there is what does this change stand for? What is it going to mean to our company? Is the way the company is changing? Is that going to be something that I can stand for, that I feel is I can represent to the marketplace? I mean, those are things I think that if you can get people to accept your values and you as the manager are true to those values, then I think that helps to promote change.
Yes, and people are watching you, and yep. You're very important as the change agent, and how you treat them and how you your attitude towards the change. So these are all things that Agent McNally, our Columbo-type guy, really gets to uncover and sees why change got killed in this particular organization. So I think you'll identify with some of the characters and hopefully be able to turn that around in the future for yourself.
What's the website, Ken?
Well, it's really whokilledchange.com.
All right, that's the book. And also your own website.
Yes, it's kenblanchard.com.
Kenblanchard.com. Ken, I got about 30 seconds. What do you think about how things are going in the economy right now?
Well, you know, I see signs of turnaround and all the... The problem is the press, I think, doesn't want to let us up. And I think we need to probably publish more good news get people encouraged and all, because I think we can pull out of this thing if we hang together and cheer each other on.
Right. Well, I definitely think newspapers need to do a better job of printing positive things instead of so much negative. Hey, thanks, Ken. Good job today. Well job. Well done with the book, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
All right. Take care of yourself, and okay. Don't kill change.
There you go. Ken Blanchard, ladies and gentlemen. The book is called Who Killed Change? I'm going to take a quick break. I'll be right back with a new friend, John Steele Gordon. We're going to talk about whether government can actually run an industry. Stay with us.
In Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.